bride comes a fall. Did anyone hear you call as you drove your Volvo into a canal? Oh, this is it. I love you, but I know where else to go. I'm a depressio. I'm a depressio.
Oh, hello.
Magic.
Hello. Oh, there we go. I've got awful headphones with me today, mate. These are fucking... Oh, have you got that mic stand again, mate? You know the one that we said that we were going to get fixed last time? Have you got that one again, have you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't worry about it. It's weird that you're in my left ear and I'm in my right ear.
Oh, it's weird that I'm in my left ear.
Ah, but I can deal with it.
Yeah, how are you doing? Actually, full disclosure, this is, 3 weeks after we filmed the last one?
I think it's two.
Two?
I think it's two. I think it's 2 weeks.
It's been Christmas and New Year, and it's now the middle of January, and it is cold.
Yep, it is cold, but we've warmed it up in this space here. Welcome
farting.
To the Depressed CEOs podcast, episode 3, is it? Technically?
Episode 3. Actually, public episode 2, I'd say this one.
Public episode 2.
Keeping it public.
Keeping it republic.
Yeah, I mean...
Merry Christmas. We said Merry Christmas last time because it was just before Christmas, and now we're back. Yeah. Just after Christmas.
Oh, I just need to adjust myself here.
I think I'm quite comfortable.
I thought I'd got comfy, but really not.
I think I'm quite comfortable. Ugh. And you can also find us on YouTube, by the way, to see our pretty little faces.
Ooh,
and the
hello.
Den that we're in. And yeah, welcome to the Depressed CEO podcast, where we talk about mostly about our depressive stories and why being a CEO is not a good idea.
Have we figured out what we talk about in this podcast? I was thinking about it after, because we only came up with the concept before we started recording the first episode, and we got so excited. I feel a long way away from you, by the way. Even though we're on the same side.
It feels longer than usual.
It feels longer, it does.
Am I in ketamine?
Yeah.
I think you feel so far away.
We both might be. But I was thinking about this, because we only came up with the concept before we recorded the last two. And I was like, oh, that's actually such a funny concept. But then I was like, this podcast is not for the CEOs, is it? This is for every normal person on the planet that has just, you know, like an aspiration to just exist and live. Like, people should be able to do normal jobs and get paid enough to live and survive. But everybody in the culture at the minute, it seems to be like, oh, you should aspire to be a CEO, or you should aspire to be a millionaire or a bazillionaire, or you should aspire to have a rocket named after you, or something like that. And I just think...
Keep talking, I want to get something up while you're talking.
No, it's fine.
It is for that.
I was thinking this podcast is probably more for the...
But we're not changing the name,
people.
Are we?
No, because...
Dear God, I can't go with another name.
No, I think
I've got so used to depressed CEOs.
I think depressed CEOs is completely valid, because you have this whole culture of people telling you that you need to be better, you need to earn more money, you need to have a bigger house, a bigger car,
okay,
a bigger
cock.
But actually, when you get there, and all these people that rush and climb the ladder and get there, then they get to the top and they're like, I'm fucking depressed, because actually what they needed to do was go for a walk in the woods and be shit on by a pigeon or something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
I watched a Netflix documentary where it's like, you are what you eat, and like this food... This chef in New York got like best restaurant ever, which, by the way, is such a ridiculous award. It's
best,
like
best
the
restaurant
best restaurant ever.
Ever.
Like, that's America, though, isn't it? It's like, this is the best restaurant ever. And you're like, what standard,
yeah,
though?
And
like,
how
did
many...
they all have a competition? Did you measure them all? Because I bet you fucking didn't. But that's just America all over it. It really pissed me off. But anyway, my point is...
Can I just say, sorry, quickly, how many restaurants have ever existed in the entirety of mankind? There's
so when
no
they said,
way.
And he was like, he wasn't so... the thing is, he wasn't like... so like uppity about it. He was just like, yeah, I want it. But like the documentary is more like...
Of course he was. It's the best restaurant ever. Oh yeah, I won that.
No, no, but he wasn't uppity about it. I didn't get right. any like weird vibes. And I actually liked him. Because yeah. he actually said like, and I reached what I thought was the top. Yeah. And he was like, but then... I did nothing. He said, I just was like, oh. And he felt nothing. And then he was like, gonna make it all vegan now. And everyone was like, wait, what? You just got... And he just flipped. And I was like, yes, good.
Yeah, yeah,
he just
yeah,
like
yeah.
totally went like, fuck it, we're now fully vegan. Because he wanted to... He hated like the meat industry because the documentary was You Are What You Eat. I haven't seen it on Netflix. It's great. And that's to your point. Like, yeah, he got there and he just was unfulfilled.
I mean, in my... professional life. I mean, we've had some moments together in our professional lives. For those of you who don't know us, we have been in bands together. We've done DJ stuff together. We've done music stuff together for years. And I mean, these particular moments would mean absolutely, completely nothing to people that have gone on to do bigger things. Like, for example, if you've ever headlined Glastonbury, I'm not speaking to you, but we did a gig with... parody rap group Goldie Looking Shane.
Yes,
and for us at the time, I suppose that was the biggest. That was literally the biggest support slot we could have ever done. The only thing that would have gone on to be bigger than that would be that if we'd headlined and then they'd supported us, I suppose. But after that night, I think I was like everything built up to it. We had this whole kind of like we had a busload of people coming from our hometown to travel to the gig. We had like individual poster artwork designed. We were selling tickets. We were like really pushing it, and we had like a big crowd come along to support us, which actually kind of boosted numbers for the actual gig itself because I don't think it sold that well. But then after that night, I woke up the next day and I was just like, "That's it, isn't it? Like, what could we possibly do after that?" And then you just
it's like you're chasing a high.
I think you get this a lot with like performance-based stuff as well, because you're always kind of you're always chasing what's next, but because it's so because the future's so uncertain with it, you just never actually know what is next. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. So the biggest gig of our lives could have been 2 weeks away that we just didn't know about it. But if it's not in the diary, if it's not in the calendar, you've not got it to look forward to, and you kind of worry until you have something there.
Yeah.
This is a very early January podcast, isn't it? It's a bit heavy from the start, but...
January's a weird month anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of CEOs.
A lot of CEOs. It's that quarter.
Driving their Volvos into reservoirs. quarter. We have
what
like quarterly periods.
What quarterly period are we in right now?
I think it's the 13th quarterly period, but I'll circle back to you on that one.
13th? No, there's only four.
Nah, mate.
It's Q4, Q1.
I do my quarters in fives.
I do my quarters in fives.
I don't know.
You're gonna have fiscal, to circle back to me.
Yeah,
on that
I'll
one.
Circle back to you, and we'll get. But you will put it in loop. The fiscal year. I know that the tax loop that ends in
I know it.
The 13th of.
I haven't done it yet. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, you just need to close the tax loop and come
fucking,
back.
By the way. Being on that tax thing, HMRC are fucking hounds.
Oh yeah, yeah, they love
like,
it.
They have texted me like 17 times. I remember your tax coming up. Hey, do you need help with your tax? Like how they worded like that.
Do you need emotional support? If you fucked up, they sometimes send you a message, don't they? Going, if you fucked up and you don't have enough money to pay, we can arrange a convenient collection program.
Oh, it's dark, isn't it? It's so
it's
dark.
It's so weird.
I hate it. I'm like, I know I've got my taxes coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Stop fucking... And it makes me more anxious. And weirdly, with my brain, it makes me not want to do it.
Just HMRC, the dogs. Dogs at the gate. The barbarians at the gate.
And it's under the guise of being nice.
Yeah, and the problem is as well, you know...
We can help you. You don't want to help me. You do not want to help me.
you know that everybody that works for HMRC as well is not an aggressive person. They're all
They're just part of
They're all straight and narrow. Like, whenever I've actually spoken to them, got to say, they've all been pretty sound and pretty helpful. And I've had times in life where I've been like, oh shit, I underpaid tax by a little bit, or I forgot to tick like my national insurance contributions the right box or something once, and I owed them some money, but I didn't have the money they wanted, and they sorted out a convenient payment plan for me.
I'm not mad at people. I'm mad at the...
You're mad at the notion of having to pay
the
tax?
The notion of, like... I don't like it being the automated email bit made to sound like they're kind of, like, helping you. I'd rather be, like, them shout at me. Like, pay your fucking taxes. rather than be like...
Vinnie Jones comes out, "Oi, David! Fucking taxes now, you cunt!"
I would rather Vinnie Jones shout at me like that than have it like this be this... We can help. Like,
HMRC,
feels...
get more threatening celebs involved in your work, to be honest. Pay it's all too boring. Get fucking... What's his name? What's the guy that does the adverts, the bet adverts?
I don't fucking know.
You know who I mean.
I don't watch adverts.
The Cockney hard man guy. Everybody's screaming his name. Oh, fuck. What's he called?
Vinnie Jones.
Not Vinnie Jones. Fucking... No. Ray Winston.
Oh, I'm Ray Winston. You know me.
I know. I kind of... He's the older geezer, isn't he?
Oh, Ray Winston. All the gangsters in South London will have you in Concord at the bottom of the Thames.
Danny Dyer. What if Danny Dyer had a show where he went around like debt collecting
people's tax returns?
I'm Danny Dyer, and this is Britain's dodgiest tax dodgers.
Britain's biggest fucking tax dodgers, you cunts.
I wanted to, whenever he said... Whenever he said, "This is Britain's oddest men," I just thought about, like, hard cocks. I was like, why are you going around looking for people's cocks, Danny?
Danny Dyer's got a humongous schlong as well.
I bet he has.
Not even a rumour.
I bet he has.
Not even a rumour, I've had a go on it. Do you remember when we did a gig?
Funniest things he ever did was on national telly, and what did he say about like one of our... He goes, "Oh, he's a fucking prick," or whatever. I think it was like
David Cameron. He sat in Nice with his fucking trotters.
And
it had just been announced, hadn't it, that he'd been sticking his dick inside a pig's head, in some part of like his private schooling.
Wait, what?
David Cameron went to Eton. Eton Mess. Yeah, the private school.
And
Eton.
He just stuck his dick in a pig's head.
Well, they have those kind of, you know, like fraternities in American colleges or whatever.
I do videos for frats. They're called frat part. They're called rush videos.
Yeah.
And so, I've done a few rush videos, and they're fun to do.
Yeah, but I think Eton is kind of like, obviously it's older than American colleges or whatever, but I think they have a similar culture where it's a bit of a boys club, and they all have to do things to be initiated into the thing. I don't vibe with that kind of thing. This is depressed CEOs to the T.
It actually
because
is,
they go to Eton and they have to stick their dick in a pig's head.
Have to, you know.
Because if have they to. Haven't done that,
so if you don't,
then if you don't do that, you're not initiated, and put your dick in that pig. Fuck the pig, and get to the top.
Yeah, and then people love it because you're like,
he was the Prime Minister of our country, and he's had his dick in a pig's head.
For me, like, of course.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, of course he has. But like, people love to think that our Prime Ministers and our people in power, I grew up thinking this as well, our fathers, our sons, our daughters, it's like this...
It sounds like you're going to go on. This is a really empowering. Our fathers, our sons, our daughters.
And we like to think they're all pristine. They're not. They're fucking animals. Yeah. They're filthy. They're just like us. And when people find that out, it's like they love it. They're like, you're just like the fucking scum with us, aren't you?
I think
sticking your dick in a pig's head.
I think in some way, though, it's dangerously endearing for some people because they're like, oh, he's a bit of a lad.
Yeah, that's
bit of
true.
A fucking lad.
I didn't realise David Cameron was like that.
A bit of a fucking funny lad.
Fucking get him on the fucking gear down the pub.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I understand why that's kind of scary for some
Like an aspect to some people. Yeah. Also, in that same vein, rugby players. There's a weird rugby culture where it's just a bit like homosexual. Now, nothing wrong with homosexuals, of course, but like they all.
Do you think it's homophobic and homosexual at the same time? Is that the problem?
I just think it's weird to do anything like to initiate to, like, this is what you have to do to prove yourself to the group.
Yeah.
I don't understand that mechanic. Like, why can't you just go off like the person that I am? Like, why do I have to come on a biscuit and eat it?
yeah.
Because that's what they fucking do. And I've heard several... And when I was growing up and going through my office period, depressed CEOs, and I remember this one guy, and there was like actually quite a few instances like, I used to be a part of a rugby club and we had to do this. And it's like, I always found it just bizarre, funny and hilarious. One aspect to me that's always been funny in comedy, and Softy will vibe with this, my friend, we always found it hilarious that someone was struggling with their like homosexual thoughts. Like, it's fine to be like gay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's 2024. But, like, it's fine. But it's fine to be gay. But
during our lifetime, that has really changed, though, because I think even we were born late 80s, but even throughout the 90s, it was a bit kind of like, if you were gay, that is bad. That was still the narrative.
I never had that like notion. Like, I do whatever you want. Like, good. Like, I don't mind like you being gay. But it was always like this. I found it hilarious that not in like I don't mean like obviously like struggling with it that you can't come out to your parents. I don't mean like that. I mean like you're wrestling with it and it comes out in weird ways. Like, oh, I'm not gay though. Like,
I'm not gay though. Yeah,
let's kiss. Like, let's kiss, dude. And then like, you know, for a joke. But I'm not gay though. And like, I just found that funny, like, dude, you're gay, it's fine, come out, it's all like, good.
We all know.
It's like, no, I'm not gay, dude.
Like Mac and Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, it just gets progressively more and more gay.
Exactly, if you want to know what to talk about, exactly that. Like, Mac, he progressively gets more gay, but he's fighting it.
And then in the end has a beautiful coming out thing. And then is the most gay man there ever has been afterwards, which is fantastic as well.
There's
Rob McElhenney, big up yourself for his portrayal of that. It's fantastic.
There is a joke that one of my favourite, and I can't remember his flipping name because I'm terrible at remembering things, but he has like a joke about like gay Vikings. Like, and he said like how scary it would be if to be like, they raped and pillaged not just the women but the men, like everyone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing scarier than a gay
than
Viking.
Being raped and pillaged.
Yeah. There's nothing. They come across in boats and you're thinking, this is the joke. You come across a goat that goes, oh my God, they're coming across on their boats. You look through your binoculars or whatever it was back in the, they're coming across on the boats. Everybody hide. They're gonna rape all the women and kill us. And then you look again and they put like a pride flag up. And you're like, oh dear God.
And I tell you,
and the men.
And I tell you what won't save you from a good Viking raping and pillaging, a Jaguar and a six-figure salary. So they don't care. They don't care if you're the head of a company or if you stock the shelves, baby. The gay Vikings are coming for you.
I got some Norwegian, Nordic and Swedish and that kind of friends, and they have it in their blood. I like to think we've got... Because they kind of conquered us before we even conquered them, didn't they?
I don't really...
They come
over
in boats on the... So I have this argument.
Eating their smelly fish
to them
in a
like,
can.
I said to my Swedish friend, I was like... No, Swedish, sorry, Tick. I didn't mean to say that. Sorry, sorry. He's Norwegian.
You're Swedish. You're Swedish.
No, he's not Swedish. Don't say that.
You're so Swedish.
Because he gets so offended. He's like, don't call me a Swede. And that's a horrible accent.
That's a Swedish accent.
I tell you what we gave you. And he gets very, very, and he bangs on the table. He goes, we gave you fit. And I'm just
we
like.
We gave you Sastroman.
Sastroman. And he's like.
Stabbing cans of Sastroman and eating them.
That's something we should do. I would vomit everywhere. Sastroman.
And
he gets very patriotic if I call him a Swede. He says, no, we're not Swedes. They'd hate each other. Like, I don't know why. There's a weird like culture there. Because I've also got a Swedish friend and it's like, he's not coming in this Discord with us.
Oh, like, calm down. Fair enough.
I want to see him pop off. I want to see it happen.
And then he's just like, yeah, bro, IKEA, what are you saying? He's like that. Yeah. Flat pack this and gets his cock out. A few nuts and bolts.
Talking about like depressed CEOs and how unfair the world is.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a man called Gary Vee?
No, but please do tell me all about Gary V.
All right. I'm just going to give you a snippet. I saw this on a YouTube short and I just... Anyway, I'll play it and then hopefully... Yeah, cool, man.
Oh, is that... Does that make you feel good? They are not your friends.
Hold on, sorry.
Your friends do not make you feel good. They are not your friends.
Did you hear that?
What did it say?
He said, if your friends don't make you feel
right,
good...
they're not friends.
They're not your friends. Round of applause.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, dude. You know?
My friends make me feel fucking awful all the time.
That man gets paid.
To say that word?
And have everybody applaud him.
He's chatting shit as well, because he's wrong. I mean, he's...
I love this.
Is that an American perspective?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, it's so... Like, it for me, it was like... I sent it to my friend Chen and went, wow, man. Speaking... Whoa, dude. Oh, shit, dude. Imagine you paid money to watch Gary V. Like, by the way, that's all he does. Like, he has a few businesses, whatever.
Right,
He kind of... And he goes on about how he had this fucking wine... fucking industry, like, oh, I worked in my dad's wine shop and then I fucking made money and I hustled
life.
And I'm like, and he's like, you know what, I fucking hustled, man. And then now he goes around talking and has these like quote bites and he goes, if they don't make you feel good, then you're not your friends. And everyone's like, oh fucking and you're like, imagine paying someone to just say that and you're like... And he gets paid so much just to chat. I mean, we're trying to podcast and trying to make money for it.
I'd say the opposite would be true in like British culture, because your best friends are your worst enemies. Like, if you ever do anything that's like remotely embarrassing, is it a true friend if they don't remind you of it for the rest of your life? Like, we've got stories about some of our friends that we will bring up and there'll be a moment that you...
Where's the line though?
I suppose there are times where you push each other too far, but also like, what about that time that threw up on your cock?
Who?
This is just an old story that we've been peddling for far too long.
We have to bleep her name now.
Of course. And I think she's married now as well. And it's not even true. It didn't even happen, right? But do you remember when it happened?
Didn't happen.
Fuck, I've really disrupted the flow.
I'm just trying to come up with like a comedic response. Like, I want it to be so... Like, apparently this girl threw up on my cock when I was, and because it's so humongous, dude.
Well, I mean, I thought it was because you... I thought it was because you were...
I'm not an animal, dude. Dude, I'm not an animal, dude. You might think, I'm a gentle lover, you know?
With horrific smegma.
Oh, how do you not have like smegma, dude? What is smegma, by the way? Like, I know what it is, but
just
like, why do we
it's
have
just
it?
Unwashed cock, isn't it? Isn't that why she threw up on your dick?
Do you remember? I'm sorry, right? We tried to, with our first two episodes of this podcast, we went on a rampage, didn't we, of like debauchery and just like sodomy. And, like, I'm trying to keep it, like, kind of chill. If you want to go debauchery and sodomy, then I'll fucking do. Do you remember that video, right? Do you remember that video of fucking... I don't know if we passed around, but like, when we were younger, there was this really horrible video of this. I'm going to try and... I'm sorry for some listeners if you're trying to figure out if this is the podcast for you. You're about to
welcome
find
to
out.
The second episode. Where it's all over
this
the place
woman
so
pulled
far.
Back, and there was actual like layer of, and it was like with the video, like it was a bit like back in the day, like the horse video, and it was one of those.
When she pulled back the foreskin,
I'm fucking like on the edge of my throat thinking about it.
I don't know. I don't know if I remember that video. I must have
watched it. Never mind.
Yeah, I
can't
like
remember.
I think
it's like
it.
9gag.com or something.
Yeah.
It was just horrible, like, porn videos.
Yeah,
some funny ones where the cameraman gets cummed on.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. And
what was that guy? We all love Bukkake. What was his name? It was like...
oh my God, you've unlocked a weird core
like
memory.
Darren or something, wasn't it?
We all love
Bukkake. He was a guy who was like... he was just like a big fan of porn, and then they gave him an opportunity to get into it, and he just had like a tiny little cock. And...
It was the same website. It was the same website. There was this website, basically, if you don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what it was called now. I can't quite remember. But it was like really weird videos.
It's probably
videos
good that you don't know.
And like, when you're figuring out, I guess, like your childhood, and you're figuring out where your moral compass lies and what your comedy is. I think when you're a kid, we were like teens.
Yeah.
And then the internet was a wild west. I think it still is, kind of is now, but like
it's
it,
not
back
it's,
then it was.
Yeah, the internet was like it was something that the kind of powers that be didn't really use. So it wasn't like boring cunts like Banks on there. It was like just like fun. Anything. It was like nerds, people that knew how to use the internet. And then also like I just remember people being like aunts and uncles and like older relatives being like, "So how do you go to a website?" And you'd be like, it's so easy to go to a website. I mean, I can't do like coding and shit like that now. So kids today will look at me and be like, you are a fucking whopper because you don't even know how to code, bro. But back then it was like opening up an application was like, oh my fucking hell. So then you were quite good at like knowing good websites back in
ADHD, bro. I think I will keep.
But did, how did you find? How did you find out about like Newgrounds and stuff like that? Your friends at school tell you, or did you?
Because like, how do you find out? It's weird. I don't know. Because it's like a weird hazy dream memory now.
You used to be able to Google stuff like funny videos, and then like websites would pop up, but you had to be really careful because
not to be too conspiracy, but like Google only show you what Google want to show you now.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you want to go and
depress CEOs.
If you actually want to search for certain things, like,
yeah.
For example, if you really want to get it, I got depressed doing this, but
horse
cum blood. I'll let you decide.
And then you get depressed. Depress yourselves.
Look up the red shoe theory, because that really put me in a spin. I was like, if that's true, then oh my God.
Is it anything like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones?
Worse. If it's real, because it's
worse than
real.
All the main characters getting.
In a nutshell, it's basically a pedophile ring of top guys that all in public wore like at a certain period of time red shoes, which if you go back in history represents like the skins of slaves and stuff.
Oh, hideous!
And it's weird. And there are several photos where they're all out wearing red shoes, and you're like, why though? And it's so weird. And I was just like...
Probably all like Man United fans or something. Do you know what I mean?
Which is even fucking worse. Dirty, scummy and Man United.
Ah, let's all go to United game. Do you know what would be funny? We'll all wear red shoes. And then somewhere on the internet, a guy's like, this must mean something. They are paedophiles. And I will
that's
prove
the,
it.
That's the thing. You sound like fucking, what's his name, Liam Neeson. I'll find you. And I will kill you. And I will find you. And I will prove you're a pedophile. We made
a joke about the Liam Neeson films. Like, what is it, Taken, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now, what Taken are we on right now?
Oh, I don't know.
How many times is he going to lose members of his family? Like,
not another one. Every Christmas, Liam.
It gets to like, Liam Neeson's now 90, right? Imagine this. Liam Neeson's 90. It's Taken episode fucking
and it's just
48.
Nobody's gone missing.
And exactly. Nobody's going missing, but he's got
he's
dementia.
Got Alzheimer's.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going with this. And he picks up the ring and goes, I don't know who you are. I don't know who I am. What's happening? Taken 48. Who am I?
Oh.
And Liam Neeson is just fucking in a wheelchair. Yes, Liam, they've taken them again. What? Where's my daughter? She left you. She didn't want to talk to you anymore, Liam. You're in a home. I really wanted to do that kind of skit.
She died.
Who
years
I?
Ago.
I don't know who you are. I don't know who I am. I can't do an Irish, because is he Irish?
Is he Irish or is he Scottish?
I think he's Irish.
I don't know.
But also, he's got a weird Irish accent. It's not like an obvious one. It's like a kind of.
You went in on, like, you got where I was going with that. Did we make that joke?
No. As soon as you said Liam Neeson's 90 years old, I was like, oh my God, he's going to go down the Alzheimer's dementia route. I vibe with it heavily.
Me and Chain were pissing us, like, coming up with how is just. Like, by the way,
Chain is one of Dave's best friends, by the way.
We spoke the other night about in detail how he had a colonoscopy because he's got really bad. He's got really
bad. Liam Neeson did.
No, he did. He's got really bad guts and he wants to figure out why. So he had to go to the extreme of like having a pipe up his ass and down his throat. And he said it was like being sodomized. Like the one in his throat.
Oh, I've had that one.
Okay, talk me through your experience because it sounds horrific.
I had an endoscopy.
Endoscopy is
the one where they stick a camera down your throat.
Yeah, that's what he had as
well. I had, in my first year of uni, I drank far too many blue drinks and it made me really ill. And I got gastritis of the stomach just from like basically not eating, drinking horrible sugary blue drinks. And beer too much. So then I had to kind of fix my stomach for a year after that. But to find out what was wrong with me, because I was like basically just, I got rushed into hospital one day because I couldn't stop throwing up. I nearly passed out. I think also at the same time I was having like panic attacks and stuff. So I had gastritis, then had a panic attack about it, and then they rushed me into hospital to find out what it was. But the endoscopy is like a camera down your throat. And I have an awful gag reflex. Sorry, fellas.
I do too.
But the minute
be horrible.
They were like, "Oh yeah, cool. So what we're going to do is just put this tiny little pipe down." They showed me. It was like, you know, the thing off the Matrix when they're like, the arms come out of the thing and they unplug it. That thing. It was literally looking at that, and
Chain was like, he kept like throwing up as the pipe.
He said,
"I felt like a child."
He said, horrible.
"I felt like I was on my side, and they just kept ramming this throat, this pipe down my throat, and I felt so vulnerable and like a little boy again, and I was being sodomized like I was on Epstein's Island."
Was he at the same time? The pipe was up his arsehole and down his throat.
No, at the same time. That's insanity.
I was going to say, like, are they going to meet the pipes in the middle? So I only had the top one. I didn't have the bottom one.
He had the bottom one first, and he was on laughing gas and like nos.
Yeah, so that would be all right.
And he was watching it. He said, because they go through like your organs and intestines, go through one bit, and he kept going through like bouts of pain, but he would like suck on this like nos gas whilst watching the screen, and every time he had felt a bit of pain, he'd suck on this nos gas, and he was also on like
do you think your mind is talking about his arsehole being probed?
He doesn't care.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Sounds.
And he was saying how like the machines went, and he was in this weird, like, he kept thinking it was like a drum and bass land, and it was like so high, and his pipe was going up his eyes, going, "Oh my God, he take a bit of air," and he was just going, "Oh my God," he went through. And I was like, it sounds horrific.
Sounds like he was like enjoying.
I mean, I've made that like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking
oh fuck yeah, spread it."
Do you like noises in bed?
Are we going down this route?
We don't have to.
Yeah, sure. What? Like, if some? Do I like it if somebody that I'm doing a naughty, sexy time with, if they make noises of enjoyment?
I like some. I think I like some, but not like.
Oh fuck yeah!
Wow, Amy. Also, don't lay there and say nothing.
Oh fuck yeah! Have you ever made that noise just for fun?
Me?
Yeah, have you ever made that noise just for fun?
I take it, we've had this discussion before, and I take it very seriously in the bedroom.
why have we gone down this route again?
Because I don't know.
I don't want to tread this path. No, you've gone down it now.
No,
tell
it's
me.
Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah. Have you ever said anything?
Fuck me.
Have you ever said anything weird when you've been fucking your manager at work?
What?
What?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just trying to bring it back to depressed CEOs.
I see.
This episode's taken a weird tangent, but it's fine.
This is literally what it's about.
Yeah.
Did you want to bring anything up, by the way?
Well, I was thinking, as you were talking about Shane having his arsehole pillaged. I was watching an Instagram story a couple of days ago, and I sent you it. It's a woman who, I think my wife knows her, or sort of knows her.
I'm not gonna name her,
but she's just had like a shitload of surgery. So she, I think she used to work at a fashion store, and then went on to found quite a popular cosmetics brand. But I think. I don't want to offend anybody here, but I think initially she was a bit of a larger lady in frame.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that she didn't want to be larger in frame. So she's had like these drastic things done, like a Brazilian butt lift,
through means of surgery.
Yeah, through means of surgery. So she had like four things done, but she's gone out to Turkey to have all these things done, but she's gone with like two of her mates who she's founded this company with. And on their Instagram the other day, they were just showing like clip after clip of like everything that they'd had done with like pictures, and they just look absolutely bizarre. They look so...
How does it make you feel?
It doesn't really make me feel anything. I'm just like, I'm kind of like, it's grotesque in a way, because I'm like, you have so much money that you can literally afford to spend multiple thousands of pounds to go somewhere and completely alter your appearance. And I also think of all the people that have like no money, but have to work really, really hard to lose weight or, you could do like thousands and thousands of squats or whatever and change your ass a bit, but you can't like suddenly go one day, oh, I've got a bit of a flat ass. What can I do to grow a big Brazilian ass? You can't just do that. And I also find it bizarre that people want to change themselves into something completely other and just take aspects of like, you know, like I want the big Brazilian bum, I want the Italian feet, and I want the British eyes, and then if you could give me a Vietnamese cock, and we'll be on our way.
It's like, you know, I spoke briefly about this with you, but it's like, yeah, my problem lies in why like she feels that way about herself, like, and it's like, you know,
sad, isn't it?
It's sad. For me, it's sad.
It makes me feel sad a bit as well.
And it's like, do you know, it's like, well, she could do what she wants. Yeah, of course. But I'm going to have an opinion about it. My opinion is like, it's normalised for, I think there's more pressure on women, yeah, and a little bit men, but there's more women to like look a certain way, be a certain way. And they don't even know, like, they just think that's the norm and that's the standard. It's like, aging gracefully. It's fine. And like, there's a place for plastic surgery, in my opinion. 1,000,000% there's a place. Yeah, yeah. Like, if you have one tit and you want two tits. A bit like, oh, if you had like breast cancer, you want like an implant.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have small breasts, it really makes you self-conscious, then maybe like, maybe.
There's a comedian that does a really good joke about breast cancer, replacement breast things. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. I literally saw it the other day, where she was saying that her mum had breast cancer, had one breast removed, and then had it like surgically reconstructed. So on one side she had like an 18-year-old's tit, and on the other side she had like a 65-year-old woman's tit. But they were like going out together all the time, and she was like making them like characters, like they have to hang out together, and it's like an 18-year-old hanging out with a 65-year-old. That's like cute, one of them's like, "Hey, where are we going?" The other one's like, "Bed, I'm tired."
Yeah. I like that. Yeah,
but, yeah, I agree.
I think there's a place for it, but that's just my personal preference. Like, I'm allowed my fucking opinion on it. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, I think it's kind of sad that she feels like she has to do all that.
I wonder if it's to do with her industry as well, because she works in the beauty industry and she sees like people that are just completely fake. It's like having like your lips, your brows, your fillers, all your stuff done. Like, I don't know. I mean, this sounds incredibly hippie, but I'm like, happiness comes from within. So if you're not happy with who you are on the outside, look to the inside first. and try and fix that before you.
Who are you to say?
Well, exactly. Who am I to say that? But like, who?
That's your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think if you fix the unhappiness on the inside, what are you really unhappy with? Are you unhappy with the way that you look, or are you just unhappy?
I'm bored of, like, I used to shy away from, because I used to be quite a people pleaser, and it's now got to the point in my life where I'm like, no, I think this way. Like, I will respect your opinion.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I used to be very much like, yeah, you know, I shouldn't really. But no, I'm allowed an opinion. It's on them now to, because I'm going off a little bit of a tangent here, but it's like, you know, when you say, you know, who am I to say, yeah, well, you can. You're allowed one. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's on them to say, go, oh, fuck you, I don't care what you think. That's fine. You're valid to think that. I'm with you. I think beauty comes from the inside mostly. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, I'd go out with, you know, I do look for looks. I am a bit.
Yeah, no, you've got to be a tiny bit. If you go out with somebody, you've got to be attracted to them. But I think there's like attraction on different levels.
For me, as you get older, like, yeah, that changes.
For me, I think initially I have to be attracted to the person physically, but then also I've been attracted to some people physically who are hideous people. And then when I've got to spend time, I've got to spend time with them, I'm like, actually, you're not attractive because you are an awful person, or you've got no chat, or you've got no personality, or no interests, or no whatever.
Yeah, I've been out. So, I've been out with like stunners, what I would call stunners, and then I'm not bragging myself.
bit of a fucking go around town.
There's some really beautiful girls that I've been out with, but their personality just didn't fit.
Some absolute dogs as well.
Do you know what? I like
You've never gone out with an ugly girl. I'll take that back.
I
know all your ex-girlfriends, mate.
You know what? I'm not much of a looker. I was all right.
Oh,
I'm big now, dude. I'm old.
Yeah,
I'm old now, dude. I'm getting old. I'm an old dog.
You can still turn it on, though. Do you know what I mean? Like you know, when you trim yourself up and that, and spruce yourself up. You know,
it's more my personality that gets me through, or at least it used to be. Now I'm just like trying to figure out.
Now you're just a bastard, and you're ugly.
A bastard. You're a bastard, Jon Snow.
You're a fucking bastard, and you're fucking ugly, and you've got fucking nothing going for you. See, just get back to the fucking mines.
See, we bring it back, guys.
Get down, bastard mines.
We, on this podcast, we like to surf the serious, and we like to surf the silly.
And the funny, yeah. If you at the moment are working a job and you fucking hate fucking hate it, and you think to yourself every day, I'm ugly, I've got a shit job, I don't like myself, I've not got a good personality, all that shit is trapping you further and further in that horrible situation that you don't want to be in. So fix your perception of yourself first, is what I'm saying. Fix what you think of yourself, and then the other stuff will follow.
I have a really anxious friend, and there was a period of time where he felt confident. And honestly, there is like I noticed a change in the shift.
Yeah.
When I saw him next, I can't describe what that is. And I think I'm going to get woo woo with it. But like, I think there's energy to people. You could tell when someone comes in with a certain, and I don't know whether that's, you know, spiritual or whether it's just like a human.
Male
thing. Like, and it's like, and I saw this person, I saw a new, like, I was like, oh my God, I've never seen this side of you. And he's exuded this confidence. And I was like,
you feel it when they walk into the room. Yeah. You don't, it's not just.
What do you think that is? Because I like get woo woo with it. I'm like, oh, that's definitely spiritual, but like, it could be just human.
No, I think it is. I think
it's like pheromones is a thing.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's it. I don't want to like be like, oh yeah, no, this is exactly what happened to me, but it kind of is. I had a really shit time. I was really, really depressed. I had a really rough like couple of years, and I got to the point where I went on a date on Valentine's Day once, right? And oh my God, like, seen this girl a few times, and like, she was all right, like, she was a nice girl, like, there was nothing wrong with her. Don't think we were particularly, like, megally well-matched. Didn't really feel like I could be myself with her, but I was like, cool, it's a date on Valentine's Day. Went out, had, like, kind of a fun date, and then got back to, like, mine, and not, you know, not not going like full details or whatever, but like things began to happen and I was just so unhappy and I was like, I just don't want to do this. And she got really upset and sort of left.
Is it me?
Yeah, exactly. I think she took it really, really personally and just thought that it was something that she'd done. It wasn't, it really wasn't. And I was like, I think that was a kind of catalyst for me to go,
it's not you, it's me.
It was, yeah, exactly. I think it was.
It really was, though.
Yeah, I think it was a catalyst for me to go, listen, I don't want to have sex with an attractive human female as a straight man. I think there's something wrong with me at this point. And but I got therapy and I had loads of counselling and I addressed a bunch of issues. And by the end of that, it just helped me, like, straighten out a few things that I've been thinking and like gave me a bit of space to process some shit. And then I got to the point where I was like just doing like stuff that I enjoyed and I was drinking less, I was exercising more, I was in like a really positive mental state. And then at that point I met my now wife, because I knew that there was something wrong. I addressed that. I got myself mentally in a place where I was like the best version of myself.
And you exude that.
It comes out of you. Exactly.
You're like a little rod of.
Exactly. But
someone will be attracted to that.
But I knew that was the case as well. Like, it sounds really pretentious. I knew that there was something wrong that needed fixing. It's not, and I knew that it was that.
The thing is, it's not, though. Like, and I just think people are out of tune with it. Like, I'm bored of, like, you know, I beat myself up for the longest time of thinking too deeply about stuff. But I now think people don't think deep enough. Like,
Like, my wife
don't
want to
fucking preach or
that.
Whatever. I will respect, but walk away and remove myself from the situation. I'm not going to push my agenda on anybody.
Yeah.
But I used to very much go the other way, where I wouldn't even, you know, I would not say certain things, but then it come out in weird ways because I was like, I did get taken seriously around like my group of friends because I would like always be the joker. But now I'm more like, you know, it is that deep. And like, if I can, I feel like I can see it now because I've worked on myself a little bit, and I'm like, I can clearly see when someone's going through a bit of a moment, and I'm like, you've got some underlying thing here. And then people will say, it's not that deep, bro. And I'm like, no, it fucking
but
actually
it is.
Though.
Yeah, it is though.
Like, it just is. And you need to like sort it out, in your own way. And I won't push that, but like, you know, and I know
I do love that it's not that deep, bro, thing, because it usually always is.
95% of the time, it always
is. Yeah, like your brain is massive, and only like this much of it is like your conscious brain, and the rest of it is all the other shit that you suppress into your thinking. And if you think that it's not that deep, it's probably because you don't want to dive that deep and feel uncomfortable about yourself. Yeah, I mean, it is good to kind of explore who you are a bit. One caveat I would also say about the way I met my wife is that we were both in that place at that time.
And
I think that is another little bit of magic if you're single and you're like, why haven't I found somebody?
It's because you're kind of looking for it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're looking for it, you like reek of desperation. People can smell it on you, and it stinks, and it's disgusting.
It does stink as well. I
see it as well now. Like if I'm out, like I see
you got the senses.
You can see the guys that are thirsty. You can see that, and the girls that are like.
By the way, I've been that man.
You used to
be around that.
I've been that guy.
Yeah, I think we all have.
We've had some nights out where I've been like,
I cringe at my thing. We should read old statuses that I've put on Facebook because that would be hilarious.
Jesus Christ, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, because you would have way more insight on it than I would. Because I'm like, I don't even remember writing there this. Was but it kind of cringe. You'd be like, that was the time.
There was a period of time when I think you. I would say you were going on a journey of personal discovery.
I was,
but
yeah.
Also you were quite upset and you were drinking a lot. And when you were drinking a lot, you were sharing a lot, but you weren't sharing a lot like privately. You were sharing a lot publicly. Ooh. So it was kind of like we were all watching and we were concerned for you, but also we wanted to be like, hey mate, It's not that deep. And just we just wanted to remind you that it wasn't that bad. So every time you used to post...
I was very dramatic.
But every time you used to post something, we used to comment on it saying, Labyrinth, come in. We used to refer to you having emotions as having a labby.
Labyrinth, yeah. Because there is song, a Labyrinth song at the time. Earthquake.
Which we felt sonically described what was happening to your body when you
How
went through
that
the...
song go? Yeah. And you kept saying, like, you're trying to pull me back from the brink, saying, Labyrinth, come in.
Labyrinth.
Like, come in. Labyrinth, pulling me back from
come
the
in.
Brink.
Yeah.
I walk used away to from the There'll be times where I just wanted you to stop doing that.
Yeah, and I know. And I think we...
I'm like, at first it was fine. And yeah. then I was like, please. I just... Yeah. I didn't know. But now I know because of my brain. I'm yeah. an emotional guy. And now I can compartmentalize. So, like, for example, if me and Liam are arguing, I used to be like, this is the end of our relationship. And everything used to be times
yeah,
10.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I know, like, oh, you're just emotional. Calm down.
Yeah,
give it
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do. I give it an hour. I completely forget about it. It's not that big.
Yeah, I think...
Because I've learned who I am.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just an emotional guy, therefore I just need an hour. And I tell Leanne that if we ever have like a big argument, I'm like, look, in my head, I'm making this so much worse than what it is. Yeah. So go away. And she'll go away and I'll be like walking around moping and doing like my... And I go around and I'm like,
listening to Secondhand Serenade.
Not that. I don't go that... No, not that far, dude. I was down,
you're
but not
that. Not
that
much of a cunt.
I'm not that much of a fucking arsehole. Oh, I'm so deep. Waiting for you. I'm sick. Nah.
Oh man. Nah, yeah, I think dude.
Trauma
yeah.
that song for me. Like actual can't listen to it. Therapy needed for that.
Therapy needed. Yeah, no, I agree. I think I think at the time we did it. We did it to death, and it got to the point where I was like, "It's not funny anymore," and I want to apologize for it. And then you were like, "No, I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that because actually, it was getting annoying." But I knew that
if I could go back in time,
I'd
shake myself and go, "Bro, come on, stop."
Give you no.
Like, the status is in like the Axe and Cleaver, like. The pub that I'd be in, I'd be like drinking like the locky, like, oh, I'm so shady, like this fucking weird, like, and I put things like, remember this date, and it'd be like a picture.
It was a
of
picture
like,
of the optics, wasn't it, in the bar? But mate, oh my god,
it's
like
cringe.
Oh my god, I've got something to talk to you about. Have you seen that guy, the darts player, the 16-year-old darts player?
I've heard like rumblings. Everyone's
gone like nuts over it, but it's like I watched him. I can't even.
He'll
remember.
He'll be gone in a month.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He'll be like the internet. It comes and goes.
I can't remember his name.
Why is this already. Such a big thing?
So he's like a 16-year-old, and he beat Van Barneveld. You know Van Barneveld, right?
God no.
You used to watch the darts.
Used
back
to.
In the day,
like probably got into it for about a month and immediately dropped it.
So basically he was like it was his first time in a professional darts tournament.
16-year-old smashed it.
He was too good for the young leagues, so he had to be moved up into the professional leagues. It was his debut. He went in, he got all the way to the final. He knocked out like some serious darts players that have been like playing for years. Raymond Van Barneveld, is one of the most famous darts players, I think, maybe of all time. And then before he played this guy, he was like, yeah, cool. I've heard all the hype about this guy, but I don't care about the hype about this guy. I care about the numbers on that darts board. And when I play him, I'm going to be focusing on the numbers on that darts board. I'm not going to be focusing on what he does. I'm not going to be doing whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's this 16-year-old kid stood there and beat him. End of the game, shook his hand, and he was like, I based everything that I do on watching you. So he's like, he beat his hero, and his hero like shook his hand. I'm like, that is fucking sick. And he got right into the final, and he like literally he was throwing like perfect darts like every time. And just the confidence from, you know, you were talking about like energies, like the confidence oozing out of him was like infectious to watch. It was like, do you remember watching Michael Owen as a teenager when he just was ripping it for England, playing against like Brazil and just running past defenders like they were fucking nothing.
The one Michael Owen.
Yeah, just the
World Cup.
The absolute. The run. And yeah, that little fucking dink. And you're just like, oh my God. The arrogance, the confidence that he has.
But like, you lean
unbelievable.
Towards, like, you lean towards Michael Owen.
Yeah.
I think Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Yeah, cool. Absolutely that.
The
arrogance, the confidence, but the difference is Michael Jordan maintained his over like this is why he's the GOAT because
he's the GOAT. As a
16-year-old, right? You walk into an arena like that or I think certainly maybe personalities like you and I would with absolutely no fear because you go in and you'd be like, I am here to fuck shit up. And this kid just stood there so cocky, like, but also so calm because he's just like, I've got nothing to lose. He's absolutely nothing to lose and everything to play for and just threw a fucking world.
You know what they call that? Mamba mentality, dude.
Mamba.
Mamba mentality.
Get your fucking Mamba out.
No, why did I say Mamba mentality? Because it's that basketball player who died. I'm so fucking shit. But it was Kobe Bryant.
Kobe, yeah.
He had that Mamba mentality, like no one's going to fuck with me. Same with Jordan, they all have the same thing. What was his upbringing like, this kid?
I don't know.
What was his dad like? What was his mum like? Did they support him? Did they pressure
him?
There's
been this funny meme thing going around where it's been like, I take my kids swimming to football, to basketball, to fucking thingy. And then this guy's dad took him down the pub. And that's why he plays darts.
Darts is
so funny. Look,
listen, darts is so hard.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's nails,
it's
mate.
Fucking
but
nails.
The way, honestly, if you, I'll find the clips of this kid and I'll show you. But like the way that he hits these things, there's this one point where he's like, he's going for a 170, or like he could go for like a 170 or whatever. Like he has a couple of options, and he turns around to the audience. He like hits the first two darts, and he turns around to the audience and kind of goes, "Like, should I do it?" And the audience going, "Yeah, fucking go on,
is
lad!"
Is it the Ali Pali
and
as well?
Yeah, it's at Ali Pali. And then he's like, and he goes for the 170 and just misses it. But it's like just the showmanship of it. It's like it's exciting to watch. I'm not really into darts, but it's cool. Like
there's rare breeds out there as well. I'm a big fucking gamer, right? I love games. It's my escape. I fucking adore games. And one thing that I need in games and in esports in general,
yeah,
I need characters because there's not really many.
Man. Yeah.
Like there are insane. Like there's this guy called Shroud.
You need your
right?
Mario. You mean like gamers. You need the gamer.
I want a showman. Like in competitions.
Or woman. Or show they.
And there's in the competitions, like, but the thing is with games, it's so toxic that we've now, I mean, in the gaming industry, you get rid of like all chat because you can't, everything's so.
Yeah.
You can't like bitch talking. I miss that. The only place you can do it is like Counter-Strike still.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike's fucking savage.
Like, what, bitch-talking people?
There was this Russian, like, there's and I'm like talking with him, like shit-talking him, and I'm like, how are you, like, I'm like, how are you not on like the front lines right now? Well, how are you playing?
Man. Jesus, well, he went there.
I'm genuinely intrigued, because he's like shit-talking me, and I'm like, you are in a war, man. Like, how are you... What are you...
He goes, personally,
I'm in war and I protect my country. And I'm like... And then I start getting fascinated. I'm like, yo, but, like, are you not, like, being called up for, like... And you're, like, playing a fake war on...
Yeah, this is his training. Maybe Putin's got them all on Counter-Strike. Do you know what I mean? Just learning the moves.
Well, there's a big joke about that now. There's a massive joke about the wars that are going
to
happen.
The fucking 9/11 guys use Flight Simulator to do 9/11. Well, if Putin uses Counter Strike to do World War III,
honestly, one of the best jokes. Again, it's Shane Gillis come up with it.
Yeah, Gillis. Yeah,
Shane Gillis was like, you heard about the dog general?
No.
So there was a general on Twitter that like left. He did his service, and he was an American general.
Right.
And he did his service, right? And he put out a tweet and he said, I've done my service. He's a general or whatever. He's like high ranks. I might be butchering this. I'm sorry. He goes, and, you know, this whole time, he said, thank you for your service. Thank you. He's been very patriotic. He said, I just want now everybody to know I'm into puppy play.
and he wore and he let it known that he loves like wearing a dog mask.
Yeah.
And the I think there was a it was a Chinese Twitter account took that and said our soldiers versus their soldiers in terms of like the Americans have like dog like this is the epitome of America. They're wearing dog like and we have these brash hard.
Yeah.
And Shane Gillis goes, I'm more terrified of the dog general.
Yeah.
He said, like, I don't know about you guys, but there's something about like war's different now. Like you it's not fought on land anymore, it's fought like
it's like fought
pressing
the
buttons and the internet.
Yeah.
And there's something scary and hilarious about a dog general going, oh, 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 and presses like a nuke button, like, oh, 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 and he just presses a button and just like bombs your whole fucking shit up. And I was like, that is so fucking funny. And the Chinese are like, yeah, ours versus that, because I'm more scared of the fucking dog general, dude.
I'm hoping for no friendly fire, fuck.
Like, oh, 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 and he just fucking presses a button. Because
the dog general?
They're all doing their push-ups and they're like getting ready for like
physical, yeah. But
wars are not like that now.
Yeah, it makes me laugh in the Rick and Morty thing. It like crumbles the entire civilization by making the money worthless.
Yeah,
it's just so funny.
And
it's
they
like
don't know
it's
what to
so
do.
Right. Yeah,
it's so correct. Yeah,
it's like, but imagine depressed CEOs if that was the case. Like, so, okay, cool. Your worth is determined by what, in your opinion? If your worth, in your opinion, is determined by like the physical things that you have, imagine if all the physical things that you have were worth absolutely nothing. So everything that you've ever bought, everything you ever paid anything for.
This is where me and my fiance have arguments.
Okay.
Because she got like a big bonus. I won't say how much or what it was. Yeah.
Like a cash bonus.
So I got this and I was like, looked
nice.
At her and,
cool.
Wow. Honest, my human thoughts and my human reactions are like, there's a bit of jealousy in there. There's like
No,
but
I
then
get that.
Then I have to like pull back and go, and she goes, but I earned that.
Pull
and
back.
I'm like, I don't want to offend her, and I'm like,
so if you are listening,
what is your worth though? She goes, well, I earned that money, and I'm like,
yeah,
but how much? Like, what X amount? Like, was it worth your time and your mental health, because I know you get so stressed.
Yeah.
So what is the number? And what, like you just said there, it's like, what if that got taken away?
What if money was worthless?
That's not a problem I have with money.
Yeah.
Then quantifying it. And how do I charge people what?
Yeah.
Figure out what you're worth.
I think also, like, what do you expect from life is often based on, like, your upbringing, whereas I think I expect, like, quite little.
£9 an hour.
I think I expect like quite little from life.
Quite little. I'm the same. Like,
but I'm happy. I'm happy with not very much. I'm happy with not very much. I mean, like, I look at one of the big things that I did at the minute is like, if I see somebody's like really really nice house, I'm like, this is a really really nice house. But then I'm like, could I picture myself living here though? And if you can't picture yourself living there, do you really want that? Mm. Like, if that does that make sense?
Yeah. Listen, how long have we gone for? Because we need
I don't know.
Look on my recording. Like, you can see in the bottom right hand corner is a little record.
An hour and two.
Wow, like exactly that. Okay, we should
really time these and like be a bit better at it. But
it's
fine. I mean, an hour is good.
Next one, I'll put on a little
alarm or whatever.
I think that's a good place to
leave it.
To leave it. I think that's a good place to end on. Like, what is money?
What is
your worth? I go through that through therapy. It's like, you got to figure out what you're worth. And I'm like,
yeah. And what you're worth, people's minds immediately go to that, like, monetary value.
Yeah.
Like, what do you deserve? What do you think that life should furnish you with? And also, like, what do you expect to have, like, as I should just have this should just be life. Like,
I think everybody should have certain things. Like, I think women should buy fucking vaginal pads.
Oh, sorry, for a second I thought you meant that they should just bleed.
No,
but
I think they should be supplied.
You mean that they should be free.
Women, you should bleed everywhere.
Listen, if you're on your period, you should bleed freely.
Bleed free. No, I mean,
you should be provided with free sanitary products, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absurd to me that you pay for something that you...
You
can't help.
It's absurd to me that we pay for...
Toilet rolls.
I was going to say dental care.
Really? Dental care?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because everybody's got teeth. I feel like, obviously, I think that dentists... I think the dentist should get paid because it's a highly skilled job. But also, I think that we pay... national insurance and stuff.
Where did it become, like, such an absurd amount of money for dentists to charge what
How could you sit there
and be like...
It's supply and demand, isn't it? Because if your teeth hurt, you literally pay anything you want. Literally, you're like, I am in agony. Okay, cool, that will be £800. Just take it. I don't care. Get this thing out of me. I think there's a level of it that there is.
No, let's meet in the middle, man. Even like NHS. And then you have to kind of roll the dice, like... Because I've had NHS dentists, and I've had private now.
Yeah.
And private, I've got to be completely honest, in debt. Like, because I put it on a credit card because I'm so terrified of the doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had, like, 2 root canals, which is apparently the worst thing you can have.
Yeah, yeah.
And the private one was sick. Cool. It was just... And you do pay for a good service, I guess, but, like, there's a threshold. I don't think it should be that much.
Yeah.
Because it's extortionate. I think it was £500 per, like, root canal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
I'm bleeding money. I'm like, oh, God, but I got to get it done. And I'm so terrified. Well, you could just go to the NHS. Well, yeah, I've had NHS dentists before. And no offence to... There's probably great ones out there. But the ones I've had,
my dentist is an NHS dentist, and he's amazing.
Well, then I'll drive to Sheffield and pay that diesel money just to go and have a free fucking dental. Yeah. And if he's good, he's good.
Shout out, Sunit.
Because I need, like, 9 injections in my gums to not feel...
Wow. Okay. Cool.
I think I've exaggerated.
Are you sure? Because I mean, like they do like. Has top he put and in bottom?
He put in like 1, 2, and then or 3, and then he's like, wait, and then it still felt, and he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. I think I don't know what happened. Maybe it's the years of drug abuse
Then you just got a little bag of cocaine out and just rubbed it on the gum, and you were like, yeah, that's it, let's go. Let's fucking go, daddy.
Let's go, daddy. Why am I clenched?
Let's fucking go, daddy. You're going to need to stop grinding your teeth for a second there. Okay, daddy.
Yeah. Stop talking my ear off. Just stop chatting my ear off as well. You thought about, like, oh... Dog's going.
Shout out the dog generals, yeah.
Shall we leave there?
Yeah, we're off.
Yeah, big dog generals. Big up dog generals. Thank you for listening. Love you, bye.